Hi, I'm Spicy Dicey.
And I'm Chantal Renee.
And we love sex and horror.
These are topics we love to write about as published authors.
I love all things spicy and dicey.
And I'm a big fan of sex and the sinister.
Thanks for joining us for some dark, twisted, sexy, uncensored fun as we discuss
sex and horror.
From crystals to tarot cards to wands to broomsticks to blessed candles to ornate swords and to incense sticks. The magic cauldron brings life to all your otherworldly tricks. Look them up, don't be shy, that's the Magic Cauldron, Houston's favorite magic shop.
Hey, Chantel.
Hello.
This is the first time we've been meeting just the two of us since we had Houston Horror Film Festival.
That is true, actually.
What is the matter with you? Okay, so you know how I usually have to keep my dog out so we can talk without being interrupted, because now that it's not the kids all in my face, I got the dog in my face, but I decided to leave the door open and let him come in here, and of course he wants to play. Hey, stop it! Stop! Hey! Yep, okay, great! Hold on, tell I don't... You're going to crate.
You have embarrassed me. And I'm going to leave it all in. I'm not even going to edit it out. Goodness gracious. I tried it.
I have a feeling you ain't screamed like that in a while.
No, I have not.
It ain't nobody listening right now ever heard me scream like that, I can assure you.
That was good.
Man, he done jumped all on my back, my head. I was like, okay.
I'm gonna give you a reason to complain, woman.
It went from bad to worse. It's almost like he knew I was talking about him. He was like, what? I could do best. I could do worse.
Uh-huh. Oh,
goodness. Okay.
Oh, my God.
So, what were we talking about? Okay, so the first time we're... First time we're back since Houston Horror Film Festival was just the two of us. Last week, we had the Scream Queens from the Dark Knight...
Of the podcast.
Yes, Roger, yes. And Troy, and that was a lot of fun. So I got that.
It was.
Yeah. So now we're going to do some reviews, right?
Yeah. Talk about the shit we've been watching, because they hadn't watched some of the stuff we had watched. So we just kind of went off script. Like, we just like took a quick dive down a cliff or something. I don't know. We were everywhere.
Yeah. Hey. So we got to catch up with a Nope.
Yeah, that's right.
The Jordan Peele movie.
Yep, and I just saw Prey, the prequel to Predator.
Girl, we're going to have to talk about that one in a minute, too. Let's finish with Nope. What do you think?
Well, you know, I actually, for some reason, I enjoyed it. I know that sounds crazy because a lot of people did not.
What did you like about it?
You know what? I think I enjoyed that it was... Here's the thing. You go into that movie and you're expecting one thing. But if you are at all current, because I watch a lot of that horror channel. Mm-hmm. Not horror channel, but like the Travel Channel. And they do the haunted places. Or they do the UFO sightings or the ancient aliens. They do all these sighting things. And there have actually been many cases of strangely shaped objects that were photographed that changed its shape mid-photograph. Mm-hmm. So I think they were making a play for that. I don't think it was... that's where it was coming from. It came from that whole... genre, if you will, of that's happening in the world right now. I think that's why I appreciated it. It was very simplistic. It was a very simple animal that needs to be somehow tamed, if possible. You know what I mean? Somehow get it to somehow figure out how to beat it, which was very much like the show we mentioned already. But, you know, the idea, of course, was very different. And I don't know. I enjoyed it. I know it was a little too long, though. I think it was a little too long.
Mm.
And the whole shoe that kept, like, it was like hovering in the air, whatever that shoe thing was, that was just like, what? Like, I couldn't understand why they kept going back to that. And that was the only thing about that I was like, why do we have to keep seeing this shoe that's setting on its, I mean, it's a weird, odd thing that happened. Did it, you know, maybe this guy's remembering it incorrectly. I mean, we just never really know, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know. I just enjoyed it for some reason. I just did.
You did.
The way that the creature was eating people, though, was kind of funny. I found that a little bit humorous.
Mm.
But I know.
Well,
I was just ready to see. I guess I was ready to have something different. And that was different.
Yeah, for sure. This definitely falls into the strange, weird, different category. So if you watch a lot of films, then, especially in the horror genre, then this is going to stand out to you as something you don't see all the time. It's got that 80s flair of, you know, kind of weird, quirky horror. But by the time it was done, because there were so many, I kept trying to guess what was happening, as I do. And there were so many different directions I thought it was going in for it to be just as simple as it was. Like you said, it was simple. Mm-hmm. And so once it went, I sat there and I thought about it and I was like, did I enjoy this? The answer is no, I didn't really enjoy it. It was different. I give it that. And I'm always down for different. So I don't regret watching it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, it wasn't mm-hmm. okay. It was my whole family went to see it because we always support Jordan Peele movies. So we went to see it and we had the theater, not to ourselves, but almost. And, you know, it was family time. So that was good. It was something engaging. It kept us engaged all along. The suspense was there. Mm-hmm.
The actors were wonderful. The actors themselves were amazing. Everybody.
Yeah, you can't go
even
wrong.
Even the stupid little guy from the geek shop or whatever it was, you know, he was great.
Can't go wrong with the cast that they had for sure mm-hmm. in terms of making what we see from the characters believable. Like, we feel like we're in the moment with them. I got that. Mm-hmm. The alien itself or whatever it was.
Whatever it was, yeah.
I was like, this is a fucking jellyfish. I mean, it kept going.
It's like
back
an air jellyfish. Yeah. Yeah.
It kept looking like, for one, a jellyfish.
But then, I mean, did you at all?
Please let me finish.
Yes.
Before I forget. It looked like a jellyfish. Then sometimes it looked like a hot air balloon. You know, it just looked like the magazines, you know, the magazines that they had, like the, what do you call, like those tabloid magazines, the magazines mm-hmm. you can see on the way out of the store. It looked like those old school magazines where they have those alien sightings, the UFO mm-hmm. sightings and all that. Just, it was so simple. And I was like, I just cannot see that as frightening when it looks so plain and so simple.
Right. Know? No, I don't, I think they are misleading, are not misleading, but they're misrepresenting that it's horror. I don't think it is. I think it's sci-fi.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because if you, and all I was going to say was, just like you already said, it relates back to many different types of sightings over decades. And even if you look at it, it could even be, in biblical terms, an angel. You know, because, like, they did talk about that in the Bible.
But, you know, I did get I thought about that for a flash, particularly when it snatched up so many people at once. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is where people are going to start thinking that there's some kind of rapture happening, because mm-hmm. they were going through some sort of tunnel, you know, in the air or whatever. Especially the way that cameraman reacted to it. It's almost like he was seeing into another dimension. He was seeing on the other side, and he wanted to go be with it, or he just was so in awe, he just had to go see more. Like, he was so drawn to it as if it was some sort of deity.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the fact that there's a lot of different types of interpretations you can walk away from when you are experiencing a Jordan Peele movie. I just cannot say that I enjoyed it.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, I get that. And the people I saw it with absolutely hated it so badly. And I think, you know, it's one of those things. Here's the thing, people. I think this especially reminded me, when you go out to eat dinner and you go, okay, I feel like having Italian, you don't pull up into an Indian food restaurant and expect to taste pizza when you're eating curry. You know, so you got to remember, when you walk into a movie, especially this one, it was giving us the vibes of Alien in the first place. So you had to know this was not going to be a movie that was going to, you know, be about something horrific. You know, this was going to be about some sort of sci-fi fantasy situation. So, but I mean, it is a little misleading because, you know, it's George Peele. I mean, he does a lot of horror, you know?
Yeah. It's funny. It was funny I was saying nope throughout the whole movie. Like, every time something strange happened, I'd be like, nope. 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 Because I'd have left that house. Like, this would not have been even a movie. The movie would have been over. We'd have been moving, packing up and moving out, not to go back again. I'm not going to set up any camera equipment, but, you know, that's where the whole, like you said, the sightings, you know, people are taking pictures of stuff because they feel like they can sell it and make money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But nope, I would have been out.
So, and I think the problem that most people are probably experiencing is that sometimes movies spoon feed us and we have become lazy. We want all of it laid out. We want all of the understanding of what we just saw laid out before us.
True.
And I think this was one of those movies that just was like, this is going to keep you thinking.
True. Yeah.
Which is where this filmmaker has made his bread and butter, with his ability to leave people thinking.
Yeah, for sure. Because I did the whole time. I was like, well, what's going to happen? And what's happening? And that did keep me engaged. Like, it was never a moment where I was sleepy and this was like, even with it being simple, I was not bored.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, it wasn't fun. It wasn't good. You know, I didn't feel that.
Well, I get that. Yeah. I think, I don't know. I don't know when that changed for me, going to the theater and seeing things, I guess, as a writer. And I'm always trying to figure out what story is being told here, you know?
Yeah.
It's very rare that I can be sucked into the show so dramatically that I don't try to sit there and analyze it as an author.
And I'll tell you also, I think from a writer's perspective, that it's great to see them taking so many risks and chances. Mm-hmm. You know, of course they can because they have the name and the finance and, you know, but I mean, still, it's risky. This was a risky type of movie to put out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were bold with it. They still did it and put it out. And then the viewer, it's up to the viewer to experience it based on their own perspective and what they're getting from it.
Correct.
I can appreciate that.
But yeah, I mean, as I analyzed a little bit with the people that were with me, and then on my own, I saw the whole correlation between the monkey and it being a wild thing that was trying to be, that was being used as something that, like, almost like a prop on this TV show. And it was like, it's still a wild thing, you know?
Mm, mm-hmm.
And so, what? I think that was the correlation with the cowboy guy trying to use this beast or whatever it was in the sky as part of his act. And it eventually bit him in the ass, which, you know.
Yeah. Why was it so? why did it not move from that spot? Why did you stay there?
I think that was its home. I think it I mean, the way they made it seem was almost like it was ancient. It was old. It was part of, that was its territory. You know, that was its land. And it was really underdeveloped, which I thought was interesting. Perhaps it was intentional. Perhaps it ran off all the other people that could have settled there, or it sucked them away and nobody ever saw them. You know, we don't really know. That was another level, our layer of, you know, part of the mystery, I guess, if you will.
Yeah. And nope. No way. I'd have been gone. He can have it. All right. He or she or they. Yeah, it's or yours. They. It's yours now.
Oh, yours.
No, yeah. I mean, I would have been like, it's yours. It's your land now. You can have it.
Yes. No, 100%. It was definitely, it was definitely different. And I don't know. I just appreciated that because you know, we want to see, and we've said this many times, we want to see people of color and all color doing other roles, doing other things. And this was definitely in that category.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Keke Palmer. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen her in anything like this before. And she was just able to just do her things. Good to see her in something like this. And it also made me think, Keke, I need to see Keke on the horror film circuit. I need to see her at the horror film events.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed it for what it was. I didn't try to go in with a palette set on something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've been trying to do that a lot more lately, especially because we're going to come on here and talk about it. But sometimes I just, when I see things and it's really horrific and I have no appreciation for the storytelling at all, then I'm like, oh, no, I can't. I just can't. There's no story here.
All right. Well, so per usual, anyone listening, we hope that we have given you enough to go on, whether or not it's something for you to see. But, you know, always when we give our opinions, we still want you to check out these films. Still support the films you want to support. You know, don't let anybody dissuade you from watching it. Support the creatives behind
that's right
projects. We don't ever want anybody to take our word and just like not go see whatever it is that they're inclined to see. Enjoy. You might enjoy it.
Exactly. And that maybe, like I said, I think the only reason I truly felt the way I did is because I've been seeing a lot of that lately on these shows, a lot of the strange and unusual things. Like, what could this possibly be? Could this be related to anything in history? And you're just like, okay. And so I think I don't know if it was Jordan Peele who dreamt this up or if he, you know, got the screenplay from someone else. Mm-hmm. But I can see they must have been influenced by something between that and the whole biblical tie-in. I was like, this could be an interesting explanation for that stuff.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what, it got me looking at the clouds lately. Like, are these clouds moving or not? Now, how many times have I looked at out there? Is that cloud in the same spot or what?
I love it.
So, anything else you want to say about Nope?
No, I think we covered it pretty good.
Yeah, and I think for the most part, we did pretty good with that. Without doing spoilers.
I spoiled it a little, but not too horribly.
Yeah, and I guess maybe me talking about what the thing looked like could have been spoilerish, but
yeah. Well. It's all interpretation. And you know what? I think honestly, if people have a little bit of an understanding of what they may be experiencing when they walk in, they may be much more open-minded to experiencing it.
True.
On a movie like this.
Right. Very much so. So, Prey. Now, let me preface what I have to say about Prey. In that I have not finished it. It was what I was planning to watch today before we got sidetracked with the other thing. You know, what happened earlier. Mm-hmm. And so, I was just now trying to finish it. And I'm about an hour in. So, I have not finished it. But on...
Dang, you haven't seen the best part.
I know. I'm sorry. But that's why I want to say, I want to go ahead and put that out there. I have not finished it yet. Right from the jump, though, I'm so irritated with this girl. The lead chick is bothering me so much. I mean, when we're in the reading community, book community, we talk a lot about when they're too stupid to live, you know, stuff like that. And mm-hmm. and this is what I keep thinking about. You just know she's gonna get people killed. It's just dumb. Like you are already fucking up. Don't go run out there after this thing. I'm so irritated with her. And I'm sure that they are going to fix it up at some point between now and when I finish it. But the whole first hour, I have just watched her just do dumb stuff. And I'm irritated by that.
Well, I will say this. As part of her community, it is vital that the Warriors, which she's trying to become, not mm-hmm. she doesn't want to just be a woman having the babies and tending to the tents and being the effect basically of the world around them. Yeah. She's trying to go out and do things, and she's actually a pretty decent tracker. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a pretty good fighter as well. But mm-hmm. In their tribe, your job is to push yourself to go after the dangerous things to protect the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So in her defense, she's only doing these things that seem dumb to us because that's what she's raised to believe. If you don't put your neck out, then you're not worth being, you're not worth anything, especially not as a warrior.
I see. So I guess I was like, I see that they want me to see her as courageous, but it's like, where, like her dog is smart. Where's her sense of intelligence in making decisions? Like, I want her to not just be courageous. I want her to think these things through. If he just had to bring you back because you fell on your ass trying to get away from a lion, why are you going to go after the predator?
Yes. I mean,
she doesn't know what the predator is right now, but she saw enough to know that this was a formidable thing.
Yes.
And he just had to bring you back. Why would you just go out there like that? And so that's what I mean. Like, I see that I'm supposed to see her as courageous, and I respect that. I respect her being brave. But mm-hmm. the lack of thought and thinking through these things is bothering me so much, because you can have courage to do something, but she puts everybody in danger. They're out there mm-hmm. looking for her, and that's how they all get killed. That little crew. I saw that part. I haven't gotten past that. But so I
get that, and I think the only thing I will say, because I don't want to spoil anything, is that this is where she is learning, and she is being very, very thick-headed about it. So she is being a bit of a brat, you know. She is being a bit selfish because she's not realizing she does have a lot to learn still.
She is a liability.
She
Everything that I saw is a liability.
And she's learning that the hard way at the moment with what you left her at, you know, at. Yeah. But she is able to see things differently from a different perspective. And that is going to come into sharper focus as you move on. And probably like the next 30 minutes of the show.
Okay.
But I do love the battle scenes on this. So you've already seen the part where, oh no, you haven't. So everybody just dies.
Yeah.
Okay. So I won't say the next part, but there are some really great kill scenes by the Predator and his little toys.
Yeah.
And there's some great battle scenes between him and the natives. There's a lot of things that are about to happen, but there are some really good battle scenes.
Yeah. Well, look, I already like him. I love what they have done with the Predator himself. Being the alien creature with mm-hmm. the dreadlocks and the snout and all that. I've always enjoyed how he goes kind of translucent to being in physical form. You know, I really enjoy that, and I like what I've seen what they've done with him so far. I hope they don't, as I continue to watch, I hope that doesn't mess up. I hope he stays in character.
For sure. Well, what I like about this show versus, you know, the 80s, I feel like we are getting such a simplistic view of this alien race that are just simply hunters. He mm-hmm. has landed on this planet for sport. He's mm-hmm. going through small to larger creatures, not so intelligent to more intelligent. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, I guess he doesn't ever send the data along to, you know, explain to his future generations that the human race is a lot more intelligent than they seem sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. But I will say that it gets really good. I really like the very visceral animalistic aspect of this creature in this version, which kind of matches perfectly with the native, you know, tribal people, because they are too savage. Which as we know later, in history, when they start to take out the natives, they always say they were savages. Well, yeah, because when you're fighting an opponent and you need to win, you will win in any way that you need to.
Yeah.
So it's very very great kills in this particular movie.
Yeah, good. And they are showing when you were just talking about how he goes from the small animals and keeps going larger and larger or to more advanced species. I do find it interesting that they're showing a lot of different predators in the jungle or, you know, in the mm-hmm. forest. So they, you know, they show the snake, they show the bear, they show the wolf. You know, it's interesting seeing the food chain.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what brings that out, right? That makes that... it almost makes what you're experiencing like palatable. You can taste it. You can feel that this is truly, what's the word? Brawn versus brains. This is, mm-hmm. this is like the fight for the top of the food chain.
Yeah. Yeah. And it appears so far anyway that is he trying to take out all predators? Is he like saying, I'm the king of the predators? Is that what he's doing?
He is just hunting. He's a hunter, and this is sport for him. That's how I experienced this movie. I feel that he landed on this planet and was like, let's see what's going on here. And just like got out and started looking for like things to kill and consume. He needed a snack. mm-hmm. Because when you look at it, right, he killed the snake but skinned it,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't eat it,
right?
So that's something that would be something a hunter would do. He isn't necessarily, when he's hunting for sport, if that makes sense. So even the natives in this case, at some point you see as they hunt, sometimes it's for sport, not just for food.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, this is where my twisted side comes out. So, and I know they're not going to go here a lot. Most of the time, people don't like to mix they don't want to mix eroticism with the horror. That's where I come in. So this girl right here, in my mind, if I were writing the story, would be hooking up with Predator. He would be pulling him to the side, and that would be a part of his prey, also his sexual prey. And in fact, I did write a story like that. I wrote a story. Those of you who are on my Patreon know I wrote a story a couple of years ago, and I am going to put it in the anthology that I have that is about the Predator doing just that. But not just my story, another alien story that I really enjoy, and I have gotten a lot of flack for talking about it, is because this predator comes down, it's an alien, he comes down and he basically just ravages through the who's the author? I know R. Lee Smith.
Mm-hmm.
The book is called Heat. She is very good at alien erotica. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. But trigger warning galore. Do not touch this if you have issues reading sexual violence.
Okay. There you go, people.
If you, yeah, this is not the book for you. And so I put this stuff out there because if it's not a trigger for you, then you can enjoy the writing and the style for what it is. Mm-hmm. And that does, it would not, it doesn't bother me to read it because I can separate it from being what's happening in real life and what's being a fictional story. But it's, I love the story. It is so well written. The name of it is Heat by R. Lee Smith. I read it a few years ago. Maybe it might be time to read it again, but that is an alien that comes down. And so the alien doesn't look like Predator in the story, but it kind of puts in mind for me what I would have done with this Predator story.
Nice. I love it. No, that's great.
Yeah, he would be dragging her back to his lair and going Game of Thrones. What was Jason Momoa's character? You never watched Game of Thrones?
Yes.
You did?
Of course, okay. I did.
What was his
yes,
character?
Girl. He was, oh my God, it's been
Khal
too
Drago.
Long. There you go.
Khal Drago. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Predator would have dragged her back to his lair with Khal Drago.
Well, you know, for a moment, I was kind of wondering if that was going to happen with her own tribe because they were getting a little bit.
Oh, I know they're not going to do it. I know they're not because it's a constant thing. It's just we can be as violent, as graphically violent as we want to be in our horror. But oh, my God. Oh, please just don't throw any sex in it.
Right. Yeah. And well, they can't control what we write. They can't.
Right. And that's where I step in. Exactly. That's where I'm going to step in.
Oh, yeah. But hey, just because there's consent doesn't mean it can't be taken too far. Sure. So,
of course. So what you're saying is that you enjoyed it and that I am going to get past my issues with this chick and I'm going to like it too.
I think that you may still be a little irritated with her. but an overall you'll respect it a little bit more is what I think. You'll get the perspective better because she's just, I mean, again, this is a female pushing against a male society, a male driven society. Mm-hmm. And her father was already killed by doing the same thing. And left, you know, his son, his daughter, and his mother, mm-hmm. and her mother. And now the son and the daughter are out there trying to kill this thing that could potentially wipe out their line of tribes. Like, it could kill everyone there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is a lot to it. And again, I like to step back and look at the whole picture of the situation in order to absorb what I'm, you know, experiencing.
Mm.
But no, overall, I did like it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I see people raving about it left and right. You know, when it first came out, I planned to watch it and I ended up watching some other stuff. But I'm glad that they've gone here because, you know, this is a good one. Like, this is something I wanted to see more of. I like the fact that they are showing a woman trying to break the mold of being the housekeeper, their version of the housekeeper, mm-hmm. and, you know, following her path to being a warrior.
And I mean, in the history of humans, tribal women have been the warriors and protectors. Actually, there's a new movie coming out about a tribe that the women were the warriors and protectors, and it's based in Africa. I want to see that shit.
That's Warrior. Yeah, I think that's the name of it is Warrior, right? Isn't that the one with like the Wakanda lady?
Yes, but it's not. Yeah, it's based on true events.
Yeah, oh my God, I'm drawing another blank on her name, but Viola Davis. Viola Davis is in it, right? Yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. whom I love. And she looks girl, she looks like she can lay somebody out in this movie. I'm like, girl, okay, she got buff.
But what I was going to say, though, about the chick that breaking out of the mold and going the warrior path, okay, that's great. You know, there's nothing new about that storyline, I'd say. You know, we've seen that before. But what I would say is, okay, do something different, follow your heart, follow your desires, be the courageous woman, just be smart about it. I mean, she's basically making an argument for why they don't want women out there hunting, because she's out there doing dumb shit.
No, I get it, and I totally get it, but I will say in my life, in my own path, fighting to, you know, be my own person and not be put into the stereotypical Hispanic chick who was going to have babies and live off, you know, the government, basically, mm-hmm. You know, it has not always, I have not always made the smart moves.
Right. You know, right, of course. Right.
So I guess they're humanizing her. Yeah. They're humanizing her is what's happening. And sometimes I think, especially when we see movies like this, you know, we're both writers. We know you have to make the characters struggle. You have to make them really like fall on their fucking face in order for you to enjoy what they make in the end of the movie, our show, our story.
Yeah. And is she young?
Yes.
Like, that's another thing. I think she might be younger than I'm thinking. And of course, when we're young, we make dumb mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I say all the time when you, even with my character, Slip Willow, she does a lot of dumb shit in the beginning, but it gives the character room to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see what you're saying, that they basically did this. She started out here, so you can see how she grows into being the warrior that she later becomes.
Yes.
Are they going to make this a series?
No. Nope. Not at all.
Just a prequel and that's it.
That's it. Yeah. I think it's great. I think they did what they meant to do with it. Because there was really no connection really between the two, because when the Predator was here in the 80s, he had no information. You know, he had no information. He was just here doing the same thing, but with Rambo, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now the other biggie that came out. Okay. So, Nope is in theaters. Prey is on Hulu. This is a good look for Hulu, because Hulu really stresses me out with all their ads. But, you know, this was a good one. You brought me back for this. And The Sandman just came out on Netflix.
Yes.
Did you watch The Sandman?
I watched parts of it. Now, I just read the book not long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, you know, I kind of felt like I was seeing it. To me, it followed the book so very well. So I enjoyed the people they picked for it, but I didn't really feel the need to sit and watch every single one of them.
Okay. The Sandman. Oh my God. I wanted to like it. I wanted to like it so bad. When I first saw that it was coming out, I was so ready, because this is another Neil Gaiman story. Lucifer, I think the characters from Lucifer was based on his world building. American Gods was his, Good Omens was his, and I enjoyed all of those, but this did not work for me at all. I watched the whole first episode and I was thinking, man, this is moving really fast, but I guess they just want to kind of give us some exposition for those of us who have not read the book. Mm-hmm. I have not read the book. They want to give us some exposition. They want to make it fast. This is the episode where they're going to build that in. And the story itself dragged to me, but the storytelling, oh, that does not make any sense. The story, how they moved from point A to point B took forever.
Yes.
But it was fast in going through so many years, mm-hmm. I mean, in the first episode.
Well, that's just it. This is one of those layered things.
Okay. And I almost did not go into the next episode, but I was like, I just want to give it a shot. I want to give it a chance. Perhaps now that we've gotten through the exposition part and I know who the people are, what's happening, maybe I'll enjoy it more. And I went all the way through the second episode and I did not like it. I did not enjoy it at all. And I know it's just me, because everybody else is raving about it. It's all over my feeds. Everybody is loving it. I don't know why I did not connect with it. But I barely finished episode two.
To be fair, I wouldn't have liked it visually if I hadn't already read it.
Mm.
Because it is confusing. Okay, here's the thing. When you're reading it, it's not so much time spent. It's so quick. The stories are fast. And the reason that they do it that way is because there's an overall general story that's happening to sleep. And then there's the individual experiences that takes us through his story because it's spread over decades. So, and each component works together to help you understand that character, the sleep character. And so it's, you know, the Sandman. And so it's one of those things, it's really kind of told from a God perspective, but it's almost like you're getting the longer versions of the stories that are part of the smaller, are part of his longer timeline, if that makes sense. So it can be really confusing, I think. And so you have to really be like, you have to be in for it and in it, not going to go nowhere. And you have to just dedicate through it and keep that. Okay. It's going to go somewhere because it does eventually.
But the end
is a little bit disappointing in some ways. So, you know, it's just one of those things. To me, it was so much like the book. I think that's why it's getting rave reviews.
Well, I did not like it at all. Like, I didn't even like the people, the cast. Mm. Normally, even when I don't like a story, I'll stick around if the cast is hot or something. But the main guy that they picked for the Sandman, I was like, and people are saying the emo king now, and I'm like, oh my God,
yeah.
This did not work for me.
He played sleep to a T.
Mm.
Just like in the book. I mean, so fucking emo.
yeah.
Like so goth.
Goth though. I like emo though. It's just he just reminded me of a bird.
I get it.
He just looked like a dainty bird. Yeah. Not the crow goth, just bird goth.
Yeah. There are a lot of those kind of goths out there too.
I don't like to talk about the way people look, but did not work for me.
Yeah, if it had been number one from the guy who played one from the Stranger Things series. Oh my God, what was his character's name?
Vecna.
Yes. He had some creepiness to him, you know. He had at least a little bit, but Sleep's character is very monotonous because he spends decades, if you will, feeling very depressed and mopey. He's much like the character from the Anne Rice novel Interview with the Vampire, not Lestat, but the other one
who Louis.
Yeah, he's very Louis, very Louis. Yes.
Yeah, but Louis, played by Brad Pitt, was a lot different.
Well, yeah, because it was Brad fucking Pitt.
Yeah. So that's why I was saying, I'm not sure exactly why I'm not connecting with this actor, but that was like a big strike for me.
It's
a
probably because strike. They show no penis cleavage. I know that's a big draw for you.
No, you don't have to show anything. Jamie Campbell Bauer, now that you brought him up, because he is Vecna Bay. Mm-hmm. I've always been a fan of his, but he is really just aging like fine wine. Like the last decade or so, he has just come out and just pops like boom. He is just luscious. And
see, I brought up one penis comment and she's dropping panty over there.
I'm just saying, and that voice, you know, the voice that he has to go with it, like the whole R, everything. Like if he would have been the Sandman, maybe I even would have still stuck around. Like maybe I would have felt that because yes, Jamie Campbell Bauer as Vecna is giving. It's giving everything. It's giving mm-hmm. that energy, even when he looks creepy, even when he's being, you know, evil mm-hmm. and all that. Like it's not even, because I was thinking like, is it the monotone? But it's not even that, because I have to deal with monotone. Henry Cavill in The Witcher is monotone as fuck too.
True, but he's hot.
But he's Henry Cavill, yeah.
But trust me, there's plenty of goth chicks throwing panties at this guy. I mean, he's very, very goth. He's just not our cup of tea.
Oh, for sure. I see it. Yeah. They was like I said, they're like emo king and all that. Oh yeah. They're loving him. It just, he just didn't work for me. This is just a me thing. It's just a personal thing. Hey, you connect with some, I connect with a lot, just not him. And just not the man.
Hey, but you know, good for Neil Gaiman. He got money thrown at him to make that shit. Good for you, man. Oh,
for sure. Neil Gaiman stays putting out a hit. I'm sure I'll watch his next one. I like the little gargoyles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the big gargoyle.
Mm-hmm.
I felt really bad about the... Was that a big gargoyle? I thought it was a dragon, but I guess it was a gargoyle.
Yes.
One that. Okay, I was sad about that. Like, what? He has to absorb him. Oh,
like of all the things.
Yeah, like to on top of everything else, then he takes this cute little thing. Oh, I'm through with him. I felt bad about the. I felt bad for him regarding the raven that got demolished.
But yeah, there's more. There's more coming.
Okay. Well, listen, so many people are loving this that my little opinion is not going to make a difference, and I'm glad.
You're just screaming at the mountain, girl.
I'm done with it, but everybody else is continuing to enjoy. I move on to something else.
There you go. Now, did you get a chance to see Demon House on Prime?
I have not watched Demon House yet because I saw that it was a documentary, and I just kind of said, I'll come back to it.
Yeah. Well, for those who are listening, if you enjoy documentaries and you enjoy ghost hunting series, this is done by a gentleman, and of course I don't remember his name. He is a very famous ghost hunter. He has his own series on, I think it might be the Travel Channel, or it might be the other one that does a lot of those. I can't think of that right now. Anyway, he buys this house. This is set in the 2014 to 2017 era. And he buys this house that is told to him is the next Amityville Horror house. So it's his experience. Like, he literally just starts filming as he goes to this house for the first time, as he starts approaching all the people about, like, he's basically unfolding the story with us. And in the beginning, he thinks that he decides it's a hoax. This isn't real. And then shit just starts going sideways. Loads of people are dying, like in real life. He himself, by the end of the show, is permanently injured from this entity that he encounters. So it's definitely worth a watch if you enjoy that sort of thing, but trust me, it is some true, honest to God, this has to be something very evil that he has discovered. And let's just say this, I will say this, he does tear the house down. That's how bad. He gets that motherfucker demolished to the ground. Yeah.
Okay. I will check it out eventually.
Well, it's there. You know, all documentaries are a little slow. And it's only that way in the beginning when he starts going, I think this is a hoax, because he's like he plays the real audio of a filmmaker who calls and threatens him, because he's like, listen, you bought the house, not the rights to the story, and that, because they want to make a movie. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, you know, why are you threatening me? You know, so it's just like, it's insane. And so he just thinks, okay, they're just doing this for the money. It's a hoax. He even goes to the new home in a different state, where the family that experienced all these things had happened to, and they refused to see him. And so he's like, yeah, I don't know. But then he leaves, and another family shows up out of the blue that's driving by that used to live there before that family he went to see. And that's when everything starts.
Hmm. Okay.
You're like, I'm just going to see it if I see a girl. But I will say this. I have been, since I saw the movie, what was that movie that came out last year that really affected me? And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna write some possession work. Oh, it wasn't a movie. It was a series, Evil. I started watching Evil last year with Oh my God. We talked about this before and you knew, I know.
Yeah. Michael Coulter. Yes. Is on there. Yeah.
And I'm really bad with names. This is why I loved Icy, because she knows all this shit. So, you know, we talked about it. So ever since I started watching that show, I became quite fascinated with the whole concept of these entities, these things people are calling demons. What exactly is this? So I now am writing a book about it, and I am doing a lot of research right now into the Catholic Church. And I've made some interesting correlations, and I'll share that at another time. But yeah, this is definitely one of those things that 100% checks off boxes for me when it comes to, you know, my theories and like a true honest to God haunting.
Okay. Is there any sex in Demon House?
There is no sex, because people are dying. So
nobody actually says, you know what, we're dying, let's just get one out real fast.
Yeah, no, because it's mostly men in the house. I mean, I know you'd still be down for that.
But yeah, I would.
The thing that they start doing is becoming very aggressive towards one another, or they go completely docile. One of the men who went into the house, maybe a week after after his plane landed back in, which would have been hours after he left the city, his organs started to shut down. Hmm. Out of no reason. They couldn't even figure out why. So, I mean, this is like one hell of a ride. You're in for it. If you are religious and fearful of demons or anything like that, don't watch it, because you're going to, serious trigger warning, it's going to freak you out. It's going to freak you out.
Now, well, actually, you got my attention now. So, about those demons in there, when they go in the house, none of the demons decides that they want to hook up with them? You know, like, they're no succubus or incubus, or, you know?
Nothing like that, no. Nothing like that.
Man,
I mean, it could be, but, yeah, no, instead it decides to kill people. Like,
always the graphic violence, never the sexual. Okay.
Well, in my book, however, there's sex. Okay, all for you, okay. Dicey. There's sex.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I watched Still Breathing. And on, so that's the title on Netflix. On IMDb, it's called Breathe. And this I actually enjoyed. And I say actually enjoyed because I have tried a couple of different things and just not been enjoying stuff lately. That's why I know it's me. I have not been enjoying stuff. I don't know why. Like, I hated Thor. This last Thor, I went to see that and I hated that too. I've just been having a difficult time. I watched the first episode of Uncoupled. I couldn't go any further than that.
Only got to the third episode of Resident Evil series. I can't get past that.
Same. I got to the third episode and I could not do any more Resident Evil. I'm glad you brought that up, because that was another one. Same thing. So I have been having difficulty, but let me tell you about Still Breathing, because I know you haven't watched this one. Still Breathing, the appeal to me is that it is a woman who ends up getting in this plane because she is desperate to get somewhere to see someone. And she has the window of opportunity to be able to see them is about to close. And so she's desperate to get on this plane. Her flight is canceled. She ends up taking a private jet with these two men she doesn't know. The plane crashes and she is stranded in the middle of nowhere. And what always gets me is the survival. It's kind of like apocalyptic type living, where you are just surviving. And I always say, like, I know how to survive. Like, I'm not worried about actually having the skills to survive. It's the motivation that I'd be concerned about. At some point, I'd be like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just leave me alone. Just let me die. Mm-hmm. And there is also a reason here that she finds out, okay, spoiler alert, I'm going to spoil this. She finds there's a sonogram that she's holding. She had just found out that she was pregnant. So that helps to show her motivation for all the stuff that she goes through, on why she is so determined to live. Because And okay, and so there's the living, and that's why I enjoyed Castaway. You know, the movie Into the Wild, where these people go out and they are trying to survive, and you see all the hurdles that they have to go through, getting food, cooking the food, having somewhere to keep them from the elements, being like from Blue Lagoon, trying to ward off the animals that are around, you know, all these different things, all the dangers that they encounter and still surviving. And so the challenge is that is the front story that's happening, but running in the background, her whole life is being told in flashbacks. So she's not only is she having kind of visions or hallucinations or mirages and everything, she's seeing some of the most instrumental people in her life there. She's encountering them, she's talking to them, but she's also, the story is flashing back to these major moments in her life. And so I feel like this movie, I mean, this show, it's a limited series, 6 episodes, is really deep, because at the same time, it's showing her healing her inner child. So she is doing some inner child work out there. You could see the dramatic events that happened, how she ended up with these abandonment issues when her mom left her, how she closed off herself so much when her dad died, because that was the only person that she had. And I mean, so she's healing that part while also making her peace with the future and being motivated to continue to live so that she can get to the future. She has this guy that she's met, you know, her baby daddy, who she has really shut out. And so this whole journey that she goes through is just amazing to me. And each time it almost feels like, okay, this is the end. But she finds the courage and the strength again. She is talking to herself. She's talking to these other people that are not there, but she's healing herself so that when she is finally out of that, when she is finally rescued, she can go on and live a good life after struggling so hard all through that time. And they don't really show enough. They don't show a whole lot to show you after she's rescued, but they show enough. They show her, this is a spoiler, they show her what happens, you know, that she's able to be rescued. I'll just leave it at that. But they show the happy ending part. Show the healing process and how it's just, I thought it was just amazing storytelling. And a lot of people are not going to like it. I see it's rated on IMDb as like a 5.2. So it's not rated very highly. Thor is going to get a high rating, and I couldn't stand that. You know, this is one of those things where there's no known actors in it. There are no known writers. Nobody knows it's just this little indie project that's a gem. I love finding stuff like this.
Well, this sounds like one of those writers that Steven Spielberg is going to swoop in and grab up.
Well, I hope so. I hope so too. The way it was done, the storytelling, you know, it's just, it was beautiful. And it's not the sort of thing that everybody knows about or can even enjoy, because it's basically watching a story. And then if you think about it, there's actually more to it. There's more depth than just her surviving. It is her healing too.
Okay.
So in that regard, her flight, her plane crashing, her flight being canceled, all of the negative things that happened to her, her falling and breaking a leg, her struggles to eat her getting sick because she finds the wrong berries and eats those, all of her struggles, you can see how it relates to our lives today and how those bad moments were actually for her good, how they ended up being such a wonderful growth process for her so that she was able to heal and come out a stronger and better person.
Nice.
Had those things not happened, she would have continued on with life the way she was.
Got it. Yeah. No, I get that. That's awesome. I love it. It sounds like a good story.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I've really been struggling. If I tell you the stuff that I've tried and it's just not worked, it's ridiculous. But yeah. It's me. You know, it's me.
No, I get it. There was a story that I saw like that on Netflix as well.
Man, we'll cut this here. We'll do that. We'll do another episode then. I want to cut this because this we're at a minute. We're at an hour.
Here. No worries. No, it's not even horror related anyway. But it reminded me of what you were saying. People seeing things in their past and how it helped them to achieve something in their present.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right.
Do you want to go ahead and get it in, or do you want to put it on the next episode then?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's on Netflix. It's a true story based on true events. These guys basically rescue a train full of people from a murderer who's about to go like crazy gun shooting on and kill everybody on the thing. And it's based on a true story, but it's because of their failures and their struggles of their lives, this particular character, and all the things he kept pushing himself to do throughout his life, that he knew how to overcome this person and save the people that this person had actually injured.
Do you know the name of it?
No, of course not. Because you know me, I never remember shit.
All right.
Anyway.
All right. Well, we are over an hour now. So it's been great. We've had a chance to catch up. I want to go into P-Valley at some point.
Okay.
And
we'll have more to talk about.
Huh?
We'll have more to talk about.
Yeah. And then I'll also finish out Prey and give my thoughts on that. Okay. Well, no, I guess I don't need to come back to Prey again.
Okay. Well, maybe. You might go, you know what? I really still hate it.
All right. But, well, we have another exciting guest next week, so that'll be fun.
And pretty soon you're gonna get some interesting noises out of Dicey and I, because we are gonna go do a show with a live tattoo artist as we get inked.
Mm-hmm. As we get eaten.
Inked. Girl, I do not know what kind of live show you're trying to do.
You know what? I'm gonna just shut up.
Oh my lord. Eat. I-K-E-D.
Okay. Ink. All right.
Go right. Good night, girl.
Good night. You can tell where I need to be in the demon house, but with the horny demons.
They're gonna run from you. You're gonna be pulling them back in. They're gonna be like, no, Satan, save me.
I'm gonna go in there demon hunting, like, what's wrong with you demons? Where are the hot ones? Where are the horny ones? Wake up.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Sex and Horror.
Make sure you subscribe
and join our Facebook group.
If you'd like to be a guest, let us know.
If you have a topic to suggest, a movie, TV show, book, song to be featured, let us know.
You can follow me at ChantelRenee.com.
And I'm at Dicey Grinner all over social media. You can find me on my website, DiceyGrinnerBooks.com.
See you next week for Sex and Horror.